Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Hello, welcome. I'm Morgana. This is my husband, Devin, and we are crazy sexy in midlife love. Today is the day before Thanksgiving. So it's like, I think for everybody on planet Earth this year, Thanksgiving is different. It's weird. And I find that the more we lose, as a year goes, I've never, I think, in my life been more focused on what I'm grateful for. Devin and I lost somebody really important to us who was like a part of our life at least 3 days a week. And young and vibrant and funny and generous and it's a shock. In my response to loss, I know Devin has had a monumental amount of loss this year. This is the second person close to me, and this person was really like part of our life at least 2 or 3 times a week. And my way of responding to a loss like that is to just be more grateful to have known such a wonderful human being and have received the gifts of like what he gave us, and grateful for all of our blessings in the moment. Like, even if you have health challenges or relationship challenges or physical challenges, gratitude for everything good. Because there's always something good. And sometimes that's hard to see. And then gratitude, deep gratitude for all the good stuff that is coming in the future. And my poor husband, I'm not giving him any space to speak. How unusual is that? One final thing that I giving me the side eye. One thing that I do want to say is like, I feel this.
Just one? Please go.
I'm very liberal with the idea, with the term one. It's a very large one.
Right, it's unity. So please.
So it includes everything.
Yes.
But yeah, speaking of unity, it's like I feel this just gut-wrenching rage and grief and gratitude at the same time. And I think it's really, really important to say that, because there's so much nonsense out there saying that you can't feel these opposing feelings simultaneously, that if you feel gratitude, you won't feel anger, or you won't feel hurt, or you won't feel sad, or you won't feel fear. And that is completely not true. I mean, and none of it is bad or wrong. Feeling angry is not wrong. Feeling sad is not wrong. Grief is not wrong. It is, honestly, in this context, this is what love feels like. Like, I really, really love this guy. And I'm furious that he's not with us. Devin, go ahead. What do you want to say? You want to talk about Phil?
You know, what do I want to say? So Phil was a guy.
Phil Adams.
Phil Adams was a guy who was a sort of like a pioneer in the West Coast swing community. And probably, like, if you were to type in West Coast swing and like West Coast swing champion, like on YouTube, and watch these videos of these incredible dancers, he probably taught all of them. And it's kind of like a very well-known thing. This isn't a surprise. This isn't like a debatable thing. He was just a guy who started doing this, like, you know, been teaching
40 years.
For 40 years, over 40 years.
He was a kid, a child when he started teaching.
Yeah. And so he and I would go have coffee and talk about our significant others. And just talk about life and talk about dance and talk about other stuff. And, you know, obviously Morgana and I are fledgling dancers, but grew to love it very quickly. And for what it's worth, Morgana has talked about her father and his Alzheimer's. And one of the ways that you sort of stave off Alzheimer's is by dancing.
Which is why Devin came up with the idea of us taking dance classes.
Right. And so we were going to do, the idea is that when you do partner dancing, there's two things that are happening. There's sort of like the physicality part of it, moving, your right foot in and your right foot out, and then you shake it all about. So there's that element to it. But then there's sort of like, specifically West Coast Swing is sort of a dance where you are really connecting sort of like your brain and your physicality.
And because it's improvisational, the concentration, it's like it is a form of extreme meditation. You have to be so incredibly in the moment, kind of outside of your head, because you don't know what's coming. The leader does, he hopes.
But even that you still have to do, because if the follower doesn't do what the leader's expecting, then you have to shift on the fly.
And by the way, the follower is supposed to add flourishes so that it is a dialogue.
Right.
And the music. Music goes to a really deep part of the brain that Alzheimer's doesn't touch. So it's like the music, the physicality, the focus, and the concentration. I learned by accident, I think, 6 or 7 years ago, visiting a friend in Northern California. And she said, "Hey, want to go waltz?" And I was like, "Yeah," because she and I were both former ballerinas. So we went to a waltz in Oakland, which is such an Oakland thing to do. And I met a Stanford physician who told me that partner dancing is the number one activity, bar none, to prevent and reverse Alzheimer's. And because my father had just been diagnosed and we were seeing the effects of it, that was very high in my mind. And one of the joys of midlife is you start to realize that everything we have is not permanent. I had a early hint of that in 1983 November. So November is a really significant month for me because I was hit by a car and thrown in a coma and almost died. And then you kind of forget, because then you go, 40 something years without any major catastrophe, but you start seeing your parents and loved ones and family and friends start to get sick and die. And this is the time of life where we start to realize how precious our little bit of time here is. How temporary it is, our own mortality, and health becomes really, really interesting. So partner dancing, great for the brain, great for the relationship, except that learning to follow and learning to lead are really, really hard. And one of the great things about Phil Adams, who was the kindest, most patient, gentle teacher that I've ever seen. We would do a private together, Devin and I, with Phil, and Devin is so angry at how I'm not following, and I'm so angry at how Devin is not leading. And it was like Phil would find the problems that we didn't know about, and it was like couples therapy. And then we'd be in sync, and we'd be dancing, and it'd be so much better. And we'd be so much more in love, because really there's like very few feelings better than being that in sync, like when you're dancing. For me. You can talk too.
Can I?
I'm
wasn't
leaving
sure.
You an opening.
No, I better pounce because this might be it.
This might be your last chance.
Yes, thank you. So anyway, Phil and I would go have cups of coffee and talk about life, lots of stuff on life and lots about things about philosophy and just sort of, so he was like a good friend. He was a good friend and we were becoming buds and we'd talk on the phone you know, it's one of those things that, you know, in talking about dance, we had talked about its health benefits. We talked about sort of like the wellness it gives because it's, you know, it's aerobic exercise and it keeps your brain active and all that other stuff. And so, you know, we had talked about sort of that. And I think he just assumed he'd be here for a really long time. And there was no reason to, you know, I don't know if there was any reason to think otherwise. And so I think it's just one of those things.
He led as healthy a lifestyle as any human being can.
I don't know if that's true.
Well,
He
made fudge, but he was physically active all the time.
All
he
true.
Was had a great relationship,
all true.
Happy and in love. And that, we're not talking about
I'm just extreme saying, if, I think if Phil were sitting here, he would probably go, okay, you know, I haven't made the sainthood yet. So I guess the bigger picture is, here's a great guy. And one of the things that is absolutely true, and, you know, I was discussing this with a house guest we had here for the last couple of weeks. We were just talking about sort of like, there is this idea that energy is sort of a permanent, right? Energy is sort of like this one thing that's a constant, like something when something dies or when things change, the energy doesn't necessarily disappear. It's not when somebody passes that all of a sudden we have less energy. We still have the same amount of energy. And so what ends up happening is we also have to understand that while that energy is permanent, there is constant change and there's constant rebirth. And so, you know, I don't want to get too philosophical.
Oh, go ahead.
But if I were to get philosophical, then I think part of the lessons of life is that sort of impermanence to it, that you get to sort of like, you know, I guess I talk about, I've had a whole lot of people die this year, people that I really cared about. And so a lot of it is, none of it was COVID related. And I think we've already had this sort of sad episode.
We don't
before.
Know that. It hasn't been diagnosed, but
right.
Heart attacks are about, I was hearing from a friend that about 20 to 30% of them are COVID induced.
I think that's because COVID counters want them to be counted.
No, there's no reason for that. Nobody makes any more money from that. But we do know that COVID attacks the heart and causes blood to clot.
Right.
And that causes strokes and heart attacks.
Right. I think it's a leap because we don't have that. I don't think there's a consensus.
People need to be tested so that we have
better
numbers.
This is a separate political subject that has nothing to do with our friend Don.
It's not anything about politics. It's science. Medicine.
Right.
Nothing about politics.
Then show me the science on what you just said.
After the show.
Oh, right. Of course. But I'm glad it's science.
Google right now.
Right. So anyway, getting back to Phil,
mm-hmm.
he was a great guy. He was a great, really good dancer, man.
Oh.
Just a talented dancer.
Well, I mean, he was a world champion.
Yes,
and then his kids were world champions.
Yeah.
And then today's world champions. He was the dance dad. And that's part of what hurt so much is even though he was very close to our age, he was my dad.
Yeah,
he was
too
my
close.
Dad,
too real, close.
Like 8 years. He was my dance dad. He was like such a safe and
he was a good guy.
He would bring snacks to dance class so that everybody could nosh.
Right. He did all those kinds of things. Yes. And we went to his last dance class. That was in Whittier. You know, we had a ball and there was like a very few group of people. And just to be safe, we all sort of like danced in corners of the room. And
nobody knew about that it was transmitted through breath. So we didn't know how high risk it was. He also brought all these big jugs of hand sanitizer because at that time we thought that's how it was transmitted. We were also like one of our last dance classes was first Saturday of March?
No, it was February.
Oh,
That
right.
was the last one.
Well, we went to the 40-year anniversary of him being a full-time teacher.
Right.
And by the way, when he started teaching, he was a kid of 21 who had students who were in their 30s and 40s. So, like these people, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people at the event, and a lot of them were really old because they've been taking classes with Phil for 40 years. And by the way, old people are the best dancers. Especially the guys, they just know how to lead. They're amazing. And so much love, and so many of the people who like invented new ways of dancing and hybrids and really, were the leaders of West Coast swing and other variations on swing and other ballroom dances were there because everybody loved Phil. And I knew it was high risk because we were just getting the news because it was, the first weekend of March. I think it was like March 7th or 8th, whatever the Saturday night was. But I couldn't not be there. I think that may be where I think I did have COVID the first week of March because I got exhausted and couldn't get out of bed a week after that. And then you followed suit and we got better. But he, yeah, just the impact that the global impact and to be so loved is what a great life. What a great life. And I'm grateful that I got to see that.
Yeah, I was honored to know him. And one of the things that we did talk when we talked about COVID specifically, he and I, and hopefully we won't have to talk about COVID anymore because it's just, I mean, I get it. I get it. But one of the things that he said was, I understand. I wear my mask. I'll wash my hands. I'll do all the appropriate things, but I refuse to live in fear. And that's one of those things that's like, I think that's what you get with a certain amount of, age and maturity. And I think it's just like an important thing. Like, yeah, okay, we're in this very challenging time. I understand that. And at the same time, we take our action. And, it's like, I think for me, the bigger picture is always, I get to take action and the universe gets to supply the results. Right. And sometimes it's like, I'm going to be super healthy and nobody knows what the response is going to be. I mean, I grew up seeing numerous things. I just remember there was this guy, Pistol Pete Maravich, and Jim Fix, who were like these guys who were famous athletes and who both just had heart attacks and died when they were 40. Young guys in shape and living healthy lifestyles and quickly. And so it's just that kind of thing. So, we don't know how much kind of time we have, but I think
Which
what's
makes the time we have so important. I think that's one of the reasons relationships get better at our age is because, like, I know that for me, starting in 40, I started just not having time for nonsense. And that just becomes more and more true. I interrupted. You can take over again.
I don't remember what I was saying, so please
Okay.
go on.
Well, yeah, you were talking about we just don't know, which is what makes it all so precious. So, yeah, this Thanksgiving is different. Obviously, I'm the one who takes the science stuff more seriously. I come from a
I don't
family.
even think that's true.
I come from a family of medical professionals
Right.
and rocket scientists and all that kind of stuff. I love that stuff. I was a National Merit Scholar in math and science when I was a kid. So we're going to have Thanksgiving tomorrow, just us. Nobody coming over. We aren't going anywhere. I don't know that we'll have any traditional Thanksgiving food, but I think it will be one of our deepest, sweetest Thanksgivings because it's about the gratitude and that to me is limitless. And it may be horrible for you, my husband. I'm so sorry.
For no,
But
it'll be fine. We'll light a candle, we'll say a prayer, we'll talk about gratitude, which is really what this is supposed to be about,
yeah.
I think. I think just our show today is about that idea that, we have this moment, we have today, and we have each other. And regardless of whether, you're listening, what your situation is, that you know, you are cared for and loved. And, you know, we have these opportunities that I think are just, you know, I think all the stuff that we're surrounded by personally is sort of like, this is how we get our lessons. And this is how we get to learn things like gratitude, because I think gratitude for a lot of us is hard because it's easy to focus on the thing, right? In other words, you go to a party and 39 people hug you, but that 40th person gave you the stink eye or didn't shake your hand or said some weird thing that just felt wrong. Mm-hmm. And maybe it is wrong, but to denote my time to the one person when the other 39 are clearly on my team, is that's the tricky part, right? In other words, if I focus on that one person, then I get to not be grateful for the things that I have in front of me.
And
right there,
I am grateful for the people who are not on my team, even though it stings, even though I want everybody to know me and love me and understand me and rah, rah. The people who are not on my team don't belong on my team, and they will be happier on somebody else's team. And I will be happier with them on somebody else's team instead of draining my energy. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be. And we can be kind to each other anyway. And I was thinking about this last night when I was thinking about today's show. So if you are in a happy relationship, hallelujah. I think there's no greater treasure in the world. And if you are single, because I was single for 45 years with, you know, little blips in between, I was aware, even though I didn't want to be single and I was lonely and it was a huge source of pain. Remember I told you I can feel things simultaneously. I also felt gratitude for being able, and that would relieve the pain of just like, when you're single, you get to do anything you want to do. You don't need to ask permission. You get to have all the adventures and you get to steer your ship without having to check in with somebody else. And that's a great experience to have too. And have a lot of it so that when you are ready to be in a partnership, you haven't missed out on anything and you don't have any like what ifs lingering around.
A dear friend of mine who also mm-hmm. passed a few months ago, Ron Wood, used to say, "We can't control the wind, but we can check our sails and move our sails around to move." And so that's one of those things that kind of always, and I butchered that quote.
And Ron Wood, wasn't that the name of a Rolling Stone?
Oh, yeah, it was. But this is the better Ron Wood.
Okay.
I have no issue with you and your fancy friends. Right. No, this was not. This okay. is a definitely not a rock and roll guy, to be sure. But just like a, you know, I think that's what we get to do. And so and this is one of those moments that we get to reflect. And I think we get to take the good things that we got from the relationship and be better for it. And then hopefully remember this guy as the valuable person that he was, which I love.
So I asked Devin to pull out his magic tarot cards again.
Tarot cards. Okay. Yes. And I did some shuffling before we signed up.
Even though you're shuffling, that? Your card shark shuffling is very impressive to me.
Yeah.
It turns me on.
I'm sure.
It reminds me that you have a bad boy past.
I don't know. Just because I look like a lumberjack.
I've read your book. I know you're a bad boy.
Oh, okay. So.
Oh, the book is 10,000 Miles with My Dead Father's Ashes.
Yeah, no, that's true. That was a curious tale about my life. So anyway.
And about death.
And about death. It was actually about my father's death. And so he was a really a unique, interesting guy. And so anyway, you know, in general, again, I don't know, you know, sometimes we have time to ask if somebody has a specific question, we could do that for that person. We didn't do that.
Yeah, I'm asking if you're on the website, you can see what our call-in number. I can't remember.
So the question...
The question that Devin came up with.
Is the question that is the default question, which is the question that I was going to is, what is the rest of my week going to look like? And what do I need to know from it?
Okay.
Right. And so I kind of do it like the first card I pull is sort of the what's happening right now. And then there is a sort of the card that comes that sort of like represents the past and a card that represents the future. And by the way, and I kind of say this is sort of like if you're at home and you know a little bit about tarot, but not a ton, and you turn over, let's say I turn over one of the cards that tends to be scary, like the devil or the tower.
I like those.
They're great cards.
I tend to get all the pretty, friendly, comfortable cards when I do readings.
Right. So, but the other cards are great too. But the point is, if one of those cards come up, it's not a reason to panic. It's actually the opposite. It's just kind of just, you know.
It's change. It's multidimensional. It's not just death card. You're going to die. It doesn't work quite that way.
Right.
Oh, so to call into the show to ask questions. So you can be preparing your question. I'm going to ask Devin why he chooses his as his default.
Yeah, but I'm just doing
have,
this one.
Yeah, if you so have something going on and you want to ask the cards or you want to ask about love or you have an experience that you want to share, the phone number to call us is 888-627-6008. So if you're listening, because we know a lot of you are listening right now, producer's been giving me the numbers, and I think we're getting like close to 20,000 listeners a month. Thank you.
So that's great.
That's very exciting to us. I was like,
come
what?
Right.
So the number to call in, if you've got a question for the cards or for Devin
well,
or me.
Well, no, not for the cards, because the cards are going to be read right now.
888-627-6008.
She wants to make this into a tarot reading show.
I'm horrible that way.
Right. So we're not doing
okay.
That. But if
he
you
says,
are at home and you have a different question, then apply that question to the past, present, and future card that we'll be talking about now. Maybe we'll do an extra special episode where we have people write in their questions in advance. If we get enough questions, and we'll do a whole show.
Well, the reason I'm bringing up the tarot, even though this is not a tarot show.
Yes, it's not.
But we're on video. I think it's really a nice visual thing. Because it's not like some gypsy with a scarf and a crystal ball. It's actually a great tool because it is sort of a Rorschach. It's a great tool for interpreting what's going on and coming up with empowering decisions for what's, you know, for moving forward. That's how I see it.
And I see it as 78 cards that sort of represent different psychological places that humans land themselves in. And so I'm ready to read the card. Did you want to talk for a while?
I could talk forever, but you can read the cards now.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Are you sure?
I'm not. I actually have no idea.
Pull the card.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, so
the
first card. So this card represents sort of a present state. And that first card is the Six of Cups. So let's talk about what's on the Six of Cups. So basically what we have is sort of like a male, female, perhaps brother-sister combination. But more importantly, sort of a youthful relationship. By the way, this card frequently is connected to ideas of romance. Ironically, depending on the deck that you're using, sometimes more sensualness. But for this particular card, we're just going to look and notice that there are six cups, each one filled with flowers, and they're vibrant and green and healthy and alive. And so we see this sort of safe environment, and we'll notice that we've got sort of like we're next to a nice house. The house, everything around it looks kind of manicured and cleaned and ready to go. And it looks like maybe Dad on the other side here is coming home. And so in general, we look at this card as sort of like a measure of prosperity, abundance, and good things. So,
and I've always heard it's a nostalgia card.
It can be a nostalgia card. Again, you know, this may be like a harken back to your youth. I don't necessarily always see it that way. It depends on what other surrounding cards. So maybe I will harken back to it. If there's some other cards. But in general, I think like, in other words, if we're talking about our present, I would say this is a fairly content place to be. And this may have to do with we're getting sort of like positive signs in terms of like just you know, the world order. In other words, quite a few people are sort of looking to the political landscape as being positive right now. And that's kind of easing up. And I think a lot of people are looking for change. And then, of course, in terms of the sort of the pandemic stuff, we have vaccine manufacturers that are sort of like quite hopeful.
Look at you bringing up politics and COVID.
I don't want to, but I know that a lot of people care about those things. So, but I guess what I'm trying to say is if this is you, then this is a great place to be in. In other words, and you know, one of the things that we know, and this is a sort of like a human psychological sort of sensibility, is that if you've gone through a particular rough time, it may take 3 or 4 months of things being better for the person who's gone through the hard time to recognize that things are actually on the upswing. So if that might be you, I might like take a moment to go, oh, this is what's happening to me right now. Look around me. I totally get if you haven't been doing well, haven't been feeling well, this is an opportunity to check in with yourself and say, hey, how are things going? Hopefully this card represents that for you at this very moment. I'm not talking about the recent past. We're talking about a today thing, how have things been going? And I would argue basically based upon this card, there's a lot of promise here of what's happening. So take stock in what's going on in your present moment. So card number two, when we talk about our past, is, and by the way, I do not read reversals. That's my personal preference. A reversal is when you see a card upside down. That's why I straightened it out right side just for the viewers at home. But even if this was sort of like an upside down card, I personally would not have read it that way because there's other cards that will point out particular things. So the past, as you can see, we've got this rainbow. That's great. And then we've got these 10 cups that are all up in the sky. We've got children playing in the foreground. We have the parents presumably looking out at the wonder of this clear sky with happiness and joy and all of the glittery cups in the sky. We've got sort of like a little stream. We've got the happy family house off in the background. There is joy and wonder in this card, which is all good.
So what if somebody is coming out of a really horrifically awful period? How would you interpret a card like that?
Well, I haven't finished interpreting, but thank you. Thank you for continuing. So if there is a downside to the card, there is certainly, again, this is sort of a measure of abundance, right? The cups hold things, and that's frequently like a wonderful thing. There is a downside, and actually a traditional Kabbalist might say, but hey, we frequently see and talk about rainbows as something that you don't want to look at because they're capable. The reason why a rainbow has a negative side effect, at least to the traditional Kabbalist, as the light is sort of this one unity. The rainbow is a refraction of that light that separates things into colors. So it's frequently, a rainbow is frequently seen as almost like as an omen of negativity. And while this card within itself is in fact quite positive, we're also talking about a ton of positivity in what would be considered Malkuth. In other words, the 10th place on the Tree of Life. And that's kind of where I tend to view the cards overall is their position on the tree, where this particular card connects to the idea.
The present card with the two children.
The present card connects to this idea of Tefereth, which is along the middle column and frequently dealing with ideas of balance. We're still dealing with balance along this middle column here, but you're also dealing with sort of like the first, this furthest Sephiroth away from sort of, shall we say, the perfection of unity. So that means we're sort of like dealing with the earthly elements. And so lots of abundance can be quite positive, but we also have to recognize that too much of abundance can frequently lead to issues of addiction, which this is sort of like the negative attributes of this card tend to bring on. Sometimes wastefulness, sometimes an impulsiveness, perhaps impracticality. So it's like, oh, things are so good. I'll just buy more stuff because everything is so good. I'm feeling fantastic. It's time to really revel in our Black Friday sales. Look, everything's so cheap. I just need more. So more is great. Abundance is great. And really, part of the lesson in this card of the past is that perhaps, especially if this may apply to you, is that if you look at your past, it's like, hey, I may have seen all this wonderful abundance, but I have the capacity to see it in sort of like a bottomless pit of abundance. You know, it's sort of that ant and the grasshopper, where the grasshopper is just going to hop around and play in the sun and not care, and the ants are just going to kind of like, well, we're storing up for winter. How about you? And the grasshopper is like, not me. I am going to dance in the sunlight. And so this is wonderful. And we have this sort of like this rainbow that has the separation of light into compartments, right? And so that within itself is, has, again, we admire the rainbow, we love it, and we also embrace the fact that there is some imperfection in having too much abundance in our lives, and perhaps making poor, impulsive choices. And perhaps, again, this card is also connected to addiction response and things like that. So, what's the future look like? And by the way, this is, I'm not proclaiming this to be a negative card. I'm saying there is abundance here. Can we see this abundance as being too much of a good thing? We can't. So we point that out. So, you know, in other words, like in general, life is good for most of us, and that's a wonderful thing. And we recognize that sometimes when we're giving too much, we can take those things overboard.
Well, it also means that, you know, depending on who you are and your own life experience, you're going to see the card differently than somebody else. That's what I mean about the Rorschach test, is you get to see, well, how does this apply to me?
Right. So, and then finally, our card, sort of our future of this week. And so we're not broadcasting out forever. We're really talking
We aren't
probably.
determining the outcome of the runoff election.
No, we're not
I already
determining
did
anything that.
that.
Right. Good.
Okay.
Good. So here, again, not upside down,
Ah.
is the Six of Wands. So again, when we talk about sixes, we talk about Teferi, we talk about sort of like a certain balance. When we talk about a certain balance in reference to Teferi, we're talking about ideas that are much more sort of like part of what would be called the ethical triangle. Meaning, sometimes we talk about sort of like the thing that's just about me, right? All the things that are happening in my life for me right now, because I'm really just concerned about me. Those are sort of like, shall we say, much more about Malkuth, which we were just talking about. This one is much more, a little bit more of a high-minded sensibility to it. And if you notice, this is the Six of Wands. And if you will notice that in each of the Six of Wands, we'll see that sort of like there's a celebration going on, and they're honoring this guy here who's dressed in red. We'll notice his horse is dressed in green, and he is wearing a garland on his head.
A
And then we've got
victory,
another garland, exactly
a white
so,
horse.
on a white horse, representing purity, the green representing ambition, the red representing power. So there's a lot of positive stuff going on here. And because we're talking about Teferi, we're sort of talking about, again, not necessarily my riches, but we're talking about sort of like the ethical parts of how I believe the world should work. And so
And I can use that as the outcome card for the runoff election.
you could, if that's where you choose, if you chose to take it there. So ultimately, this card is sort of like, I think, a victory card. I think those around you are probably liking you or appreciating you, are singing your praises. You are high and tall in the saddle on your pure horse.
And it comes after a wand card of hard work. So it's
Yeah.
like success after the work.
Right. And so this may be like a good card for a Thanksgiving moment, right? For where we're going to be able to sort of like, I'm can enjoy my weekend, have the victory in it, revel in my gratitude, appreciate where I've been, and realize this isn't necessarily, I'm coming out of, shall we say, the complete and total abject confusion of the pandemic. No, this is probably not that. This is much more about this week. But however, this is a good week, right? Like, I think ultimately we have a really nice trajectory of where these cards have laid out.
Or so maybe it's a sign that you're on the right path that's going to lead to a good outcome too.
Oh yeah, no, without question. Like I think if you've sort of taken some sort of, you know, if you've taken action. By the way, anytime I personally believe it, when we talk about sort of like middle column stuff, again, that's...
Which is Tree of Life Kabbalah stuff.
Right. One day I'll have a big, long conversation about it. I'm still thinking about taking a class. If you're interested in me teaching you a magic class, let me know. I'm thinking of starting up a new one and we'll have fun with it because a lot of it's just like philosophical understanding of yourself and how to move forward. In
well, and there's also mystical solutions to Matt. To modern love.
Right. Yeah.
We're
going to
pull that out next year. And that is loaded with Kabbalah.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of Kabbalah, but it's really how to apply it to your daily life to sort of like sure to ensure that love is in your life and in your heart. But getting back to this card, again, we're sort of like there's, you know, they're singing your praises. It's going, it's moving forward in a positive way. This is sort of like the victory card. And so I think a lot of positivity. And so I am going to proclaim that you're going to have really a wonderful week. You know, don't overindulge. And certainly don't overindulge and drive your car, but enjoy yourself. Have a great weekend. Have some food. And
stay safe and wear masks.
Okay. Yeah, that too. All of those kinds of things. So anyway, that's my reading of the week. If just to recap, what do we have here? Our first card is the present, which is sort of like our sort of abundance card, but in a very sort of like content, positive
all of the cards
relationship
today
way.
Were pretty abundant.
Yeah, without question. So this is sort of like a relationship card. Like, in other words, home life is probably pretty good. This is sort of like, again, we've got like, you know, abundance, crazy stuff. There is some potential things to watch out for, but that's really more in the past, at least where you can connect to it. And then finally, we're talking about our victory by the end of this week. So I hope everybody is doing well. I hope that gives you a little bit of insight and happiness and joy. And there we go.
Yeah, and maybe look for where the abundance is. I know a couple of weeks ago, last time,
we're trying to refocus.
Okay.
That's not me just showing
Ooh,
you my hand.
That's interesting. Yeah, we are kind of blurry, aren't we?
Yeah, no.
It's the problem with the fancy camera.
That might be. No, it'll snap back. Okay, so where were we? So we did some talking. We did talking about
it's
things.
A little in focus. So it's like, no, there's just a lot of Vaseline on the lens. It's very, very...
It's very helpful. I look 20 very, years younger.
Yeah, very forgiving.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks ago when Devin was pulling cards, the future card was actually not one of the happier cards. It was the Five of Cups. And for those of you who are not tarot masters and memorize all that stuff, which, by the way, I'm not, and I don't. I know how to read cards. I come from generations of that. I don't know as much as Devin does. But I'm more than happy to comment and correct him anyway.
Right, which is, happens a lot.
Because that's love.
Because you're a scientist, too.
Because I'm generous.
Right, please go on.
But the Five of Cups is this really sad, devastated looking person in a black cape who's mourning over three overturned cups in front of him.
And by the way, that's just the picture on the Rider Waite deck. There are certainly other cards having different pictures and different things.
You are totally out of focus. Try to get closer to me. And
yeah,
you know. Okay. So, That card showing this really bereft person grieving over the three spilt cups isn't looking at the two cups that are still upright and the pathway over the river to the castle and all the good stuff that's going on. So my invitation to you, if you are going through stuff like we're going through stuff this week, is also find the sweetness. Also find what is going well, what you do have. If you're sick, where are you not sick? You know, it's if you are grieving, what about the people who are there? I mean, whatever the challenge is, find what you have, because that can lead you out of the dark place and moving forward. And at the same time, we honor the dark place. We're not kind of like, snap out of it, don't feel it, because that's sick. That's like, really feel what you're feeling, honor it. You know, feelings are there for a purpose and a positive purpose. And this is the time to find what to be thankful for, because that's good for us as human beings too. And there's so much. If you are alive, holy cow, that is a miracle in itself. And that's a very good place to start. So Devin talks a lot about Melkuth, which is at the very base of the tree of life. That's sort of like samsara for, you know, our Buddhist and Hindus out there. It's this world that we play in, like everyday reality. Is that correct?
What? Everyday reality? Well, it's really more about the physical world.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, there's a bigger picture where we can talk about the reality. You know, there's different components to that. But please go on.
This camera, this expensive,
know,
fancy camera,
is
like
not even
driving
pay
me
to
crazy.
It. No, I understand that.
Yeah.
So just take your hands away from it.
Yeah. So, like, if you're listening, just be thankful that you're listening and not watching us two little blobs.
It's not that bad. It's just a little out
no,
of focus.
It's a little out of focus because Devin was holding the cards up and ruined everything. You broke it, Devin.
I know. Okay. Please go on.
No, I think I'm good.
You think you're good? Okay. So, so getting back to this idea of gratitude, I think for me, I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful for, my well-being, my general health and welfare, those around me, sort of like my immediate circle, you know, you, my mom, my stepfather, my aunt, you know, cousins by the bushels are by and large all healthy and happy and doing the things that they should be doing and are going to be celebrating. And that's going to be great. And I think what I will do tomorrow morning is I'm going to make a lot of calls. I'm just going to call up all kinds of friends and family and say hello and wish them a great day. And I don't think any of the calls will probably last more than a few minutes, but that's fine. Cause then I'll be able to just kind of like, you know, reach out and say hello. I got some really lovely text messages. I'm not a big fan of texting, but I have.
Cause we're of a certain age.
Ironically, the people who are all texting are of our vintage as well. But the text messages were all just like, hey, man, love you. I hope you're great. Many blessings. Eat well. And I like all that. So that's kind of what I wanted, was sort of like an eat well, have gratitude sort of thing.
What do you want? Do you want Thai food tomorrow?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. It'll be a Thai Thanksgiving.
A Thai Thanksgiving. Yeah, and it'll be delicious. I will probably maybe even order two entrees, because I haven't had Thai food in quite a while.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they're open, at least the place that we go to. I'm sure.
I hope so.
Well, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. My guess is it's like, there is certainly a kind of like, at least in the movies, that there's always a Chinese food restaurant, but I don't know how the Thais feel about that and whether or not they honor, well, you know.
We'll find out tomorrow.
We will find out tomorrow. So if it's not Thai food,
or we can call after the show.
We could find out. That's probably the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Is to check in with reality and find out if there's food to be mm-hmm. eaten. So what are you going to be, what are you having gratitude for, and what is your plan for tomorrow?
Well, my first gratitude always comes to you. I just am just so happy to be with you. That we have a home.
Yeah.
That we have savings and security. That we have health, my beautiful family, my friends. I see things turning a corner in the world. I see, you know, things getting better health-wise, getting better with the economy, with jobs, getting better for a lot of people. I think it'll start slow, but I think it's going to really be building up over the next 2 years, and I'm excited for that. So I'm actually extremely optimistic. I'm thrilled to be planning to go back to Bali to lead my retreat in June. Yeah, when the show's over, I'm going to be communicating with the Srirathi Cottages Resort to arrange payment and conditions on my rooms. I know we gave them a shout out last week. I love them. And I'm grateful for my flexibility that I can pivot and I can change. So if June doesn't work, then we'll change the month and we can do that. And I'm grateful for that. There are plans for me to be coaching on the ground in China late next summer. Whoa, that's very exciting. And my grandmother was born and raised in China. So there's kind of a connection to that too. So I'm thrilled to just be home with Devin and do our own gratitude ritual and keep his parents safe so that we can have many, many Thanksgivings. Maybe we can have a Thanksgiving together in April or whatever. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. Just like we don't just have to save up all of our love and affection for Valentine's Day. We can make Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day, and all those days every day because that makes life more fun. What are you thinking right now?
What am I thinking right now? I
Yeah.
was just checking the clock, so we have a few minutes left to go.
Yeah. So, what are your pearls of wisdom?
My pearls of wisdom for today is go hug your family. Go, I mean, I know it's probably the wrong time to hug, but I still believe in that. If you
Well, if you live in
can,
the same room and nobody's under quarantine,
But so
and if you
I
have a
think the
cat or a
hugging is
dog
good.
or a pillow,
I mean, I think
hugging is
really
good.
what it is, I'm just using the word hug, but really what I'm talking about is like just tell the people, obviously with sort of like the death of our friend a couple days ago, I think it's just one of those things that we're here on this ridiculous spinning globe for really, in the grand scheme of things, a very short amount of time, and maybe we've been here many generations, and maybe this is our one shot. Either way, I don't know if we get to know what the answer is. And so I think we have this limited time. And so it's sort of like, hey, be nice to each other, because it is everybody's, I think, at their worst. I think it's just been a real challenging time across the world,
Well, and time changes. Like when we're young, time is interminable. It just is so slow. Waiting to turn five, waiting to lose teeth and get teeth. It just went on forever and it speeds up at our age, which actually makes everything more valuable, every experience more valuable. My grandmother, before she died a couple of years ago, when one of her ad adopted multitude of children and grandchildren, because she just adopted, like not formally, but she would just meet somebody and go, "You're mine," and that person belonged to her for the rest of her life. And one of them was a childhood friend of mine who went to read the Tibetan Book of the Dead with her. And he was like virtually in tears. And her response at the end of that was, "That's bull. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the following word on this show. I'll have to check with our producers. So I'm not going to finish that." But she says, she just essentially was saying in saltier terms, "That's malarkey." And she said, "Life is about having experiences. Have lots and lots of experiences." And she did. She lived one of the greatest lives any human being could live. She's kind of my role model for life.
Well, and you're living pretty well too, so.
Living really, really well.
Right.
Can't wait
See?
to travel again.
Oh, yeah,
And
I missed that because I have so much to say about travel, but
yeah.
we're not quite there yet. So I'll have things to say about Bali and China and, hope.
Lisbon, I want to go back to Portugal.
Yeah, well, we'll get there and it'll be there after all of this is over. We'll just, until then, we'll
So,
keep safe and wait for
yeah.
vaccines to arrive.
Well, like I was saying, if you are happily in love, hallelujah, that's the greatest thing in the world. And if you're not yet, then enjoy everything you can about where you are. Just like we can't travel, but I love and cherish being home with Devin, poor trap person that he is. And I do leave you alone for bits and pieces of time.
Right, for brief moments.
No, most of the time.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
But just as much as you're capable of, not to deny your experience in the moment, as much as you can treasure, really, the better life experience you'll have, because whatever is going on now will change, guaranteed. And some of those changes are shocking and not welcome, and some of them are unexpected and better than you ever imagined possible.
Yeah. So, and by the way, we're thankful for you for spending the hour of your time with us. And you can always check us out more. I mean, I haven't seen our update from
I
our
don't know how much time we
producer.
have left, so
Right.
we'll
Maybe they
just.
turned it off on us. And they're just like,
No,
why
so
interrupt them? Just
yeah,
click.
join our love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. You can see our first 11 weddings in 3 minutes, and
Yeah.
it's fun and it's cute.
It is cute.
Well, Devin's a professional editor for Miramax, so he knows how to cut a 3-minute video. And download Devin's book, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know, at Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. But join our family, get on our list, join our Facebook group, get alerts, and ask us questions, send us messages.
And just say hello.
Yeah, just say hi.
Let us know if we need to be doing something different.
Or maybe what your take was, like how today's cards or today's show related to you. We want to know. We find that interesting. Anything else?
No, I think we're, what are we doing? We're hanging out here.
Yeah.
We've got 60 seconds left. Do we, it can't be
We're
that we've,
very efficient.
I don't know if we are.
Yeah.
Really? So what are we going to do next week?
Oh, next week. Exciting. So we're going to have guests again next week.
Really?
Yeah, Michael and Carly, Michael Stratford and Carly Anderson.
Oh yeah, I like
Yeah,
them.
yeah.
Yeah,
Oh, they're
they're a good
wonderful and
couple.
they're wise and they're going to have lots of really useful tips on life because that's what they do for a living,
Yes.
is advise people on life.
So
And
that's it. I think we're
it
ready
looks
to
like we're
go.
done.
Yeah. So many blessings and see you guys next week.
Mwah.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.